Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, hello there. I am Greg Lancaster. Welcome to VFN TV, VFN Radio on VFN TV and the Christian Television Network audience. Hello. We are here this week to be able to encourage you, to inspire you, and to remind you that our God is in control. Our God speaks. As a matter of fact, He speaks so much, and we love every bit of it. We're trying to figure out what to say first when we come together. You know, what are we going to focus on? And if you're wondering, does the Lord speak? Yes, He does speak. He's just looking for those that are interested. And what He says in Proverbs chapter 1, He says, if you would just listen to me and respond to me and my promptings in your life, and sometimes tough promptings, then I'll share with you the secrets of my heart. It's amazing. So we're going to share some of those things today. Joining me is the producer of VFN Radio on VFN TV, Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
In his Saints jacket today.
Oh, my.
Drew's going to chase me down. You know, even though they did lose, you still earn it.
They lost.
They lost. I didn't know this.
I'm not a fair weather fan.
I didn't know this, but Jared told me that it was bad.
Oh, wow. It wasn't that bad. It was worse the last time.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
Yeah, it gets hot. It's like, it's terrible. It's like, Saints lose by 5,000 points. Like, it wasn't that bad.
Not
it was
that bad.
Worse last time. Also, John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Oh, my goodness. Here we are. I also give a big shout out to all of our WHBR listeners on the Gulf Coast down there and all of our sponsors and partners who partner with us and sponsor us. And say, you know what, I stand up for God and country in that order and Israel. Today we're going to be talking about some things taking place in Israel. One is that Sharon has passed, and he's very significant because he's the one that fought for Israel's independence and was a part of 1948 and all these other wars. Mm-hmm. He was a big leader. And it's interesting that he was in a coma almost for, I don't know,
almost 6 years, I think.
Yeah, 6 to 8 years. And
oh, wow.
But the timing of saying, okay, now's the time, it's almost symbolic. It's like now Israel's surrounded, or Israel's back where it was back when Sharon fought for it.
Mm.
You know, it's like a new Sharon needs to arise, which Benjamin Netanyahu very well may be that particular person. But they saw him a fierce general. But have you been in war lately? I mean, one of the movies that are out right now, and I haven't seen it. I'll probably wait for it to come out on ClearPlay so I could
view it.
But just honor our soldiers that are out there, and it's called Soul Survivor. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that some theaters had to cancel all the movies they were playing in their theater and fill every theater with that one movie because there were so many people.
It's Lone Survivor.
Lone Survivor.
Oh, wow.
But they had to close all their theaters out for these other movies, just cancel those, and started playing this one movie in every theater. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
It's like, yes. And everybody's looking for someone where are these men and these women, these men who stand up for God and country and for what we and family. And this particular man, if you have not heard about him yet,
Marcus Luttrell,
he wrote a book entitled
Lone Survivor,
and I heard him interviewed, and he was talking to the directors and all those guys that was there, and he said, "Well, he's a SEAL,
yeah,
and he is the lone survivor of his buddies who fought side by side." And he said, "I heard him say this. He said, well, I just want to let you know, if you mess it up, I'm going to kill you." And they escorted him off the lot. And the thing was, they probably believed,
oh wow,
because he was honoring. Yeah. Honoring his fellow SEAL team members, which is this close family,
mm-hmm.
that are willing to lay down their life for each other and lay down their life for us. And some of his interviews are just so powerful. And he is definitely honoring them, but he's also honoring the America that we once knew and we're going to know again.
That's right.
Because America's running to the reality, this is who we are. This is who we are. Let us live up to the Marcus Luttrell's. Let us live up to that. And it's a big thing to live up to.
Yeah, no doubt.
It is, you know, got to have a vision in the context of that. And we appreciate, you know, Marcus, what you've done, and also your our fellow soldiers that were there with you. And to hear how you present gives us such an awareness of you and your fellow soldiers, where we can somehow connect through you communicating to us. And we appreciate that. And we pray that maybe what you did will just set a spark in the hearts of all of us to understand what it takes to keep the freedom in the nation that we have. And so, clear play, crank it up.
We want to
be able to see that. And but I haven't seen all the details on it either. But, you know, I don't know if you know about this or not. We're going to be talking about today. We don't forget we have four programs back to back. Is, you know, skeptics are talking about this deal to slow down Iran's nuclear program. It's not going to work. And it's just like the frog and the snake, you know. I mean, we had a great time. We had a great time with leaders coming in. Our leaders, ministers coming in from around, just spending time together, seeking the Lord, hearing what the Lord is saying. And there's one thing that we have to do as Christians, no matter what country we're in, that we have to find out what God's perspective is of what is he saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's one thing about Jesus that he is able to empathize. He is able to empathize because he walked in our shoes. And we as Christians cannot empathize. We cannot, and that's love. Love is feeling my experience, validating my experience. And we had a chance to talk a little bit about that there in our gathering. And God just really, really moved. And you're wondering, you know, you may be saying things that are right. You may be saying things that are scriptural. You may be saying things that are biblically correct and doctrinally sound. But you may be lacking empathy.
Hmm.
And Jesus doesn't lack empathy because he walked in our shoes. And so, you know, if God had to walk in our shoes, if he had to walk in our shoes to deliver us and to save us and to bring us into relationship with himself, how much more do we as Christians who walk on the face of this earth with our flawedness have to really walk in someone's shoes? And so hopefully we get a chance today to talk about, you know, empathy. Do we have it? Because people want, I mean, it's not, you know, empathizing with folks does not mean you agree with them or do or don't agree with them. It just means you're validating their experience, that it's not a lie, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see, you know, God, what do you want us to do about this reality? And if we can rediscover empathy, and how you know that you may be struggling with empathy is that you don't feel any compassion in your heart. You just kind of crank out tasks. You crank out non-emotional responses, and sort of like the Pharisees, you know, and the Sadducees, you know, in regards to that. And it's like, you know what? You know, if we really want to make change, if we really want to affect our communities, our state, our nation, if we want to save our nation, I think the one thing we need to do is WWJD. We need to do what Jesus did.
Absolutely.
Which is have empathy at the risk of being misunderstood.
Mm.
I mean, they called Jesus Satan. They called him a sinner. They called him, he's driving out demons by demons. They said he's trying to be God. Little did they know that he was God and was God. And he put himself equal with God. He called himself a son of God. It's like, do you ever think that he might be accurate in what he's saying? And it's like, wow, if God could come down to our level and feel our pain, I mean, and the things that we go through. And I go through a lot. I mean, not as much as Pat, but I go through a lot. And I know if he can understand my two or three things. And no, but seriously, I mean, think about it, you know, that he just totally gets us. And he can explain this. Can you explain a fellow American? Can you explain all Americans? Can you empathize with everybody's journey? And if you can't, you need to start praying. Dear God, how come I isolate myself from their story and I just kind of project my story on them instead of listening to their story and seeking your heart over that and then bring them from where they are in love, in mercy, in grace, in forgiveness to your loving presence in your family? And if you know the Lord and you follow him, that's what he did for you. He found you right where you were. He found us right where we were. In the midst of all of our mud and our mire, and I like what, you know, Kay Chara talked about at the Dream Center. And just a cesspool and sharing a cesspool of filth and, you know, I don't know, Second Street. I just want to say to people that live on Second Street now, it might not be the same anymore. If you live on Second Street, know that it was only that way when Pat was there. We're not going to bring the duct tape up today.
Oh, goodness.
But I know that you can do anything. Tricycles. I guess that was like human trafficking with your brother. We're going to be talking about human trafficking today in regards to God TV. They are focusing on confronting, as Christians, human trafficking taking place. And the predominant aspect of human trafficking is for sexual prostitution. And you'll hear some of the things. Hopefully we'll get a chance to cover it. But you got to go to God TV and find out the details, and we'll make it available to you on the VFN Torch. But people are ordering, this is what they said, people are ordering girls the way you would order pizza.
Mm.
You know, this kind of like, this kind of girl, this kind of girl, this kind of girl. And they would deliver that to this particular man. And so slavery today is bigger and larger than it's ever been in the history of the world. And it includes America. Wow. It's happening in America. So stay tuned. Check out God TV for details. But also we'll be talking about it on VFN TV, VFN Radio. And you'll be able to see if you're on CTN or go to VFN TV, click on the torch and be able to see some of the things they're going to be talking about right there. But they have the girls, as they're showing, with barcodes on their faces.
Oh, wow.
Which, you know, just purchasing them as products. And when you see people as, if you have no empathy for folks, you know, if you don't have, you just see them as giving units, as someone said, giving units. Well, they're, anyway. So you just see them as they're going to give you something, whether, I guess in this case, themselves or, you know, finances or something to do your whatever. And believe it or not, if we get time today in our programs, I want to be able to understand Taps and Reveille. Because Taps is a song played by a music played by a bugle that represents, going to sleep and the end. And I'd like to play Taps for Second Heaven today, hopefully.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And I also want to play Reveille for the church. Because Reveille is what you wake up to. Every morning when I was in the United States Navy, they would play Taps when it's time to go to bed. And they would play Reveille when it was time to get up. It was like, it wasn't as good as this. and it was kind of irritating after a while. But it's about waking up, because the Lord says, you know, wake up, sleeper, awake. You're talking about the church waking up. If we get a chance to, we're going to talk about today in our programs, prophecy. This is the year of like a roller coaster, as Rick Joyner talks about it, that's coming forward. And I thought, you know, what was 2013? What was 2013? The zipper? You know what I'm saying? And so much more. We'll be back after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My granddaughter took a Jesus bedtime storybook to school for a teacher to read, and her teacher said no, she couldn't read anything of a religious nature.
Was this going to be read by the teacher?
Yeah.
Yeah, it may be an overreaction by the school administration. The difficulty is when they're reading a book and you got the teacher reading it to the class, their concern is what's called state action, meaning that now you've got the school involved in giving a religious point of view in the book. It's not simply the student reading it, it's the teacher reading it. And the courts recognized and have said that there's this crucial difference between government speech endorsing religion, which would be a teacher, which is prohibited by the Establishment Clause, and private speech, student speech, endorsing religion, which is protected by both the Free Speech and Free Exercise Clause.
If you have questions about what's allowed in school, visit ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and there's a big link right there in the middle that says visit our sponsors,
I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service, and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the daily radio program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on visit our sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, hello, I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome back to VFN Radio. We are going to be talking to you about so much today. And if I can just grab this screen somehow. Can you pull that over for me, Patrick? Pull that back over here in the middle screen for me. We are, God TV is focusing on human trafficking, ending it. As Christians, we need to be focused on it. When you look spiritually at what's taking place, you're looking at an escalation of Asherah and Baal and Dagon and Jezebel and type seduced leadership and Ahab, surrender leaderships, that type of thing. And what happens in it is all this Baal worship comes in and all this Asherah and Dagon. And the thing about it, the best way to begin to defeat these type of byproducts of a church that where we've gone astray is to get back into our places of authority. As Coach McCartney said years ago with Promise Keepers, he said, you know, don't beg for it back. Don't plead for it back. Take it back. Because you don't have a choice. God's not trying to, he didn't ask you, do you want to be in this place of authority? He didn't say it's optional for you to surrender your church over to Mrs. So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so. I mean, you have to stand up. Now, if they throw you out, there's nothing you can do about that, but at least you stood for what's right. Mm-hmm. They ran Jesus out of town, but Jesus spoke truth until they did. And it gives everybody the opportunity. Some people say, well, you know, if I stand up and take the leadership that I'm supposed to have, that God says I'm reading in my scriptures as I abide with God, then I won't be here. Well, you're really not there. You're really not there. Yeah. I mean, you're there, but you're not there. Now, you stepped down from your place of authority. You took on your own counsel or the counsel of somebody who was not biblical in their counsel to you and said, well, you need to make them happy, you know, and versus making God happy. Mm. And making God happy makes all those that are God's children, men and women included, and boys and girls, it makes them happy. They just don't make happy the ones who are not God's, that are not his children. And so that's a good way to find out. If you make God happy, you find out who's God's. Mm. You know, who's following God.
Yeah.
Because if that pleases the Lord, it pleases those who follow the Lord because that's their desires to be able to please the Lord. And speaking of that, there is, I was so amazed to find out about this particular lyric to this song. And everybody has seen this movie once or twice, maybe historically. It's a pretty old movie now, maybe not. And it's about witches and good witch and a bad witch. The thing about a good witch and a bad witch, what they both have in common is they're both witches.
Hello.
So in the church, there are no witches, you know. And they might be in your midst, but they're not in the family. And remember that we had a couple situations. Anyway, so then, what are you doing back here with candles in the back of this building?
Ooh.
Anyway, so we won't talk about that. And but remember, there was a song because they were defeating this one particular. It's kind of maybe a little humorous to you, maybe, but we're going to tell you the lyrics of it, and the lyrics are pretty amazing to it. But these munchkin little folks were getting tormented and oppressed by this evil witch. And you think, well, that's so ridiculous. Well, have you been around your community lately? Have you seen the church being tormented and hidden out, and they're scared half to death about, you know, what darkness will do, or you know, maybe they're casting a few spells themselves. I don't know. But the fact is like, you know, and so they were hiding out, and they would not even come out because of the threat of this particular oppression. And so all of a sudden, I guess a house or something fell on the evil witch, and she dried up because I think water touched her. Was it water or something like that? I can't remember.
No, when are we talking about?
I think it was water.
Well, yeah.
What?
The first one died under the house.
Yeah.
Dorothy's house landed on and killed their sister.
Uh-huh.
So the evil witch of the West, she's the one that died through of water at the end of the movie.
We're talking about the Wizard of Oz, the movie.
Correct.
Wizard of Oz.
Right, right. And so, in the context of this, you know, we're finding out, it's like, Mike, somebody had some insight who wrote this movie, this
right.
book. It was a book. And it seems like some spiritual insight in dealing with, you know, witchcraft and Jezebel. And this witch really represents Jezebel. And when the house fell on one witch, which is interesting that the house of God, you know, falls and kills one, but then the water, the washing of the water, the holy water, you know, touches another one, and then that one just shrivels up and goes away. But they were too scared to confront her. They didn't want to confront her. They were scared because she held this power and that type of thing. And so they waited, and, of course, eventually she got confronted. That's how it ended. But when it ended, they began to dance around and sing this song, and I thought it was pretty interesting. And you can hear the Munchkins sing it first. And then we want to kind of just read these lyrics. I know this is kind of maybe humorous to you, but if you understand the authority being seduced and how the authority has to verify the, in all these different dimensions of it being removed from a society so you could be free, is pretty interesting. As a matter of fact, listen up.
The wicked old witch at last is dead. Munchkin City, in the county of the land of Oz, I welcome you most regally.
But we've got to verify if legally
to see
if she is morally, ethically,
spiritually, physically,
positively, absolutely, undeniably, and reliably dead.
As coroner, I must have her. I thoroughly examined her, and she's not only merely dead, she's really most sincerely dead.
Then this is a day of independence for all the Munchkins and their descendants, if any. Yes, let the joyous news be spread. The wicked old witch at last is dead.
Ding dong, the witch is dead. Witch, a witch, a wicked witch.
amazing when you think about that. Although it's kind of a little humorous, and that's what we like to do, is kind of a little, kind of have a little fun with things that are going on so we can understand it. But this is pretty profound. I mean, these munchkins are saying, ding dong, the witch is dead. And understand that Revelation chapter 2 talks about the church of Thyatira and how they tolerate Jezebel, who calls herself a person who hears from God, and she misleads God's people into all these wrong things. God's going to deal with her. But people that get free from her have authority because she seduced their authority. And you think about it, they went through the entire process of making sure, how does a community or a county get free from this Jezebelic Ahab type principality that kind of locks down the people like munchkins. And you think about it, they said the witch is dead, but they wanted to verify it. The mayor comes out and says, of the county of the land of Oz, I welcome this most regularly, but we need to verify it legally, ethically, physically, morally, undeniably. And then the coroner has to come out and make sure the spirit's gone, make sure this thing is dead. The freedom came. The freedom came when they realized it was over. And understand this, that our God is greater than anything spiritually that could be done. So I just want to say, you know, that proclaim, this is the Lord has shown me, that God's going to deal with this Jezebel spirit that's over his church and holding his people down. We are not munchkins. We're sons and daughters of God. And we're going to be free to be able to celebrate and move in the authority God called us to be.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them today at VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you, phone numbers, web addresses, even a map. Visit VFNTV.com. We want to ask you to partner. Listen, you're giving, your contributions. We're doing this together. We're taking the gospel all around the world. Every bit counts. Let's partner and do it together. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Pat, isn't abiding with the Lord just an awesome thing to be able to do?
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful.
I mean, talk to us, man. How has that affected your life?
Well, it's just changed it. I mean, for years, I struggled with that, you know, spending time with God in regards to, you know, hearing his voice. But when God introduced me to abiding and, you know, and journaling and hearing what he's saying and writing it down, it's been life transforming. I mean, I can hear him clearly. And it's beautiful, and, you know, it's just a wonderful thing.
It's so cool, isn't it, to know that you're hearing the voice of God?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And he says that, you know, his sheep will hear his voice and follow none other.
That's right.
That's so important, isn't it?
It's just amazing, and he knows exactly what you're going through at that particular time in your life, and it's just amazing where he leads you. Right. You know, you think you did it.
Right.
You know, when you open up the scriptures, and there it is, and like, wow. Wow, God, that was awesome.
This is cool, too, that by doing it, you begin to be faithful, that all of a sudden your whole family now abides with God. And alone with God, and you all even come together and share about it, right?
That's right. Yeah, we sure do. We all come together at the same time every week, get together as a family, my wife, my two children, and we talk about what God said to us that week.
Does God speak to everybody in your family?
Every one of them, yep.
And what's their ages? With the children.
Yeah. Yeah, right. My 10-year-old son, my 14-year-old daughter.
Right. Isn't that awesome, though, to know that God is speaking to your whole family?
Yeah.
You're out there, you're listening right now, you're thinking, man, I didn't think that was possible. I thought you had some lesson plan or something. You had some little study guide or something. I didn't know that you could have a simple plan that even a 10-year-old can do and hear from God, hear the voice of God. Listen, we're called to hear his voice. If you don't have a plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's available at iabide.org. It's free. Request it today. Go to iabide.org. Request your plan. It'll be sent to you immediately in your email. iabide.org.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, hello, I'm Greg Lancaster. I just want to welcome all of our Christian television network audience and our radio audience around the world. Joining me for the program is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
If you missed an earlier program, you got to catch it. You know, we're talking about what is it like when the heavenlies are free, when they're no longer brass over you, when this religious manifestation of some sort of seduced authority, Jezebelic, Ahabist type authority is over the church. And it's a freedom. And kind of humorous when we talked about it, but also talking about what is it like and compared it to kind of munchkins, you know what I'm saying? You got to hear it. You got to hear it. You got to go there and check it out. We're going to be speaking about, you know, Pastor Saeed in this program, how pastors are beginning to stand up in America because our president and our White House and our Congress are not standing up for this American pastor who is in the jail of the very nation that we're over there every 5 minutes, you know, talking to them about how to give them more food and stuff as they build nuclear weapons and are haters of Israel and America. And and you got to see this because they're willing to get arrested until something is done. And they are actually going up and they got arrested. These pastors got arrested. And his wife, you'll be hearing it and you'll see it also, is his wife is going to organize the same movement, and she's willing to go to jail in America until all our president just wakes up and just says, you know, what are you doing? Why aren't you helping this American over here who's in jail, who just loves Jesus? And it was just and helping out the Iranian people, you know, bringing them to a place of forgiveness and redemption and eternity. And I mean, how loving and kind is that? Also, hope we get a chance to be able to talk about the prophecy given by Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, where, you know, he prayed about this year, what would this year be like? And the Lord showed him a roller coaster. And as I say, you know, what was 2013? Wasn't that something like a roller coaster? That was more like a drag racing. That was like, okay, here we go. You know, we're in January, the motor's cranked up and it just goes whoosh. And just takes off, and next thing you know, you're at the roller coaster ride now. And the good thing he talks about, and of course, as he said it, you don't need a, you know, some major discernment to see that it's going to be a roller coaster because of so many things that you probably just heard on a program recently, is how there is some sort of financial crisis coming in this year. As if every day that somebody's not losing their house or their job, that's a financial crisis.
Hello.
Somebody says, well, we're not in a financial crisis. I just lost my house. That's a crisis. I just lost my job. They just cut off the unemployment benefits, and I've put in for these jobs. I'm not being hired. That's a crisis.
Yeah.
It's a crisis because I'm having to turn to government to feed my family because I don't have a job. And that's all a crisis. But this is a major crisis that you heard as Pat Robinson with the CBN 700 Club was talking about it as well. And as we've been sharing about it, and you can go to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com and choose at the very top prophecies. And I think it's called prophecy. And it has all these different prophetic words and dreams that we're just sharing with you, what God shared with us. And our prayer is that it doesn't happen. But you have to understand, if in fact every person who doesn't make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, who begins to worship other gods other than God, who makes money their God, who says, I have no need of nothing, and turns away from Jesus, when they die, if they go to hell, they're totally separated from God. For God to allow that to happen without interrupting that and giving everybody a chance to make a right decision for him would be an unloving God. And God's not trying to write anybody off. He's trying to write everybody in.
That's right.
And if you haven't yet gone to the VFN store, VFN TV store, you need to go there and get Nobody Cries for Justice. That's so important because, you know, I can totally understand if you don't have the revelation, I can understand why you don't cry for justice, because we all need grace. But the justice of God is served on the cross that gives you a revelation of how powerful what God did. God's a just God, and he's the one that justifies, and he served his justice on his son. And so it makes us run to the cross, rely on the justice of God served on Jesus, and call everybody else to the cross, not have everybody whacked or anything. You know, have everybody come to the cross. That's why you preach the kingdom of God. That's why we cry for God's justice. And justice really is getting things back in order again. So if you haven't yet got that, you need to get that need to watch it. You need to listen to it, because we got to cry out for justice. And very few people are right now. People are crying out for personal benefits. People are crying out for personal stimulus. People are crying out for personal things and stuff or whatever. But when somebody else is going through something, when, you know, 55 plus million children are being aborted, you know, and have been aborted in our country, and every hour, you know, so many are being aborted, when human trafficking is on the increase greater than it's ever been in the history of the world, when the 97% of the church is robbing from God, and the tithes and the offerings, we're spending $1.3 million per baptized believer, according to George Barna. We're continuing to sing songs and we don't even read the word of God. It says, I don't even listen to your songs anymore until you get right with me in the context of that. And we continue just to do this thing as like, dear God, injustice is bringing things back in order again. So it's not doing away with something. If you go to Jesus, he's just going to put it back in its right order again. And the more you study America in regards to our foundations and our founding principles, and even though it's had its journeys, the fact that it was built on biblical principles allows us to see, my goodness, the reason why we give this prudent man inspection to everything, the reason why we make sure the defendant or the person being accused has an attorney, because God said he wants us to make sure that everybody has representation. And he says, if you don't do this, and he talks about an Amos, he says, I'm going to bring judgment on the entire nation. And he's just into justice. He's into justice. But I also see others, because the church is vacant in this particular a field of justice, you know, personal justice we seek, you know, our personal kingdom justice, right. We see, you know, trying to get our own little building plan and stuff and going. Mm-hmm. But in regards to national justice and justice for people that are experiencing unjust circumstances and oppression and historical oppression and so many different things. For example, if you live in a community that you know that the tax base is based off of the schools are funded off the tax base, and you make sure your kid goes to this particular school, well, you don't even consider these 10 other schools that don't have that kind of income in that region or property in that region where they're paying property taxes, and it doesn't bother you, that means that those kids are not going to get the finances involved in having the same education as these other kids. That's unjust. But the world's saying, this is people in the world, and I was reading the most recent PICO letter that just came out, Pacific Institute for Community Organizing, who's bragging on the fact that they've used churches for many years now, although they're neutral in regards to their faith, that they're bragging about how they've partnered with many faiths and many churches to accomplish social justice. And it's like, well, you know, we shouldn't have had gone to PICO to be able to do that. We should have been able to turn to God and organize ourselves and say, you know what? We're for justice. We're for fairness. We're for this. And but it costs you. Mm-hmm. Because if there is a unequal distribution of things and stuff, and you have the greater amount of that, you have to be willing to give up some of your stuff. But if you have compassion and you're wanting justice, that's something you want to do. Mm-hmm. That's something you want to do. That's why the church would quit robbing God of 97% from the tithes and the offerings, which would empower the church to be able to meet these needs. We could build schools and hospitals and just all types of things. It doesn't matter where people take down monuments and things to our founding fathers. We can re-erect one overnight. But with all the robbery going on, it'd be kind of, you know, difficult to be able to do that. So I want to encourage you, if you have not yet personally said, you know what, if the first injustice I'm going to stand up for is I'm going to be able to stand up with God in my finances. Because this year, let me tell you something. This year, you haven't seen anything yet. This year, if money is your God, your God is going to be fallen. It's going to hit the ground. And it's not going to hit the ground running. But if God is your God, and he's your provider, and you understand him as Jehovah Jireh, then you're going to succeed. I mean, God's going to take care of you. And if you've been listening to VFN Radio and VFN TV, we've been talking about it and preparing you, because God says in Amos that he first tells those who hear his word, prophets, to be able to tell his people to be able to prepare for what's coming. We have a beautiful God but we just got to listen and pay attention. And you can prepare for what's going on. But the biggest way to prepare financially right now is to be able to don't be robbing him.
No, that's, you know? It's not a good strategy for success, okay?
Not for what's coming or ever, really. And so, I mean, and he says the first increase, the tithe, the first increase goes to him. And it goes to where you're being fed. Now, if where you are, if you're not going anywhere, maybe you're, you know, wherever you're being fed, that's where you give that. And you eat there, you get fed there, it builds you up, brings you closer to God, brings you in unity with God and his people. But if you go to a gathering somewhere and that's where you're being fed and you keep going there and you've never given what was God's to there, that's what you're supposed to do. You don't matter if they, even if they mess it up, understand it's God. Most men do mess it up, by the way. But even so, you know, trust God and let God see it leaving your hands, because you're saying by doing that, you're trusting him. And then in offerings, begin to give. Begin to give to God. Give to, he that lends to the poor lends to God. You know, get out there on the streets and give to people in need, or find people that are part of us that have those kind of gifts on the streets and give to them so they can give to the poor, the naked, the blind, the homeless, the people that need something that are on the streets. And it may not make sense to you in the carnal sense, but God's got a big smile on his face. Ask Lazarus, who was outside the rich man's house for quite some time. And he passed this poor guy every single day, and he never gave him one dime, never one dime. And he had all this homeless experience in his life with sores and difficulties because he didn't have the medical treatment, obviously. And then all of a sudden they both die and go, one goes, the rich man goes to hell. And he goes, is it Lazarus or?
Lazarus.
He goes to heaven. And the rich man, who wouldn't even touch Lazarus, now says, please have Lazarus touch my tongue.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? He thought he was too unclean to be touched. But now he's willing to have Lazarus' finger touch his tongue when he dips it into the water that's before the throne of God. Let me tell you something. Don't evaluate things in your life, in this nation, in wherever you're at, based on how men and society does it. Find out what God has to say about it. He that lends to the poor lends to God. This man could have been right there with Lazarus in heaven if he would have understood the simple principle. Money is not your God. God is God. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want you to hear right now, the VFN Dream Center, you got to hear this. You got to hear what God is doing. Listen up.
I just speak to the nation now. All the way from Oregon to California. From Maine to Miami. Dear God, send fire. Fuego. Burn the sin, God, out of our lives. A third great awakening, God. Lord, we don't look to men. We don't look on the horizons. We look up because you're the God that answers by fire. Hey, sin revival, God. Forgive us, God. Forgive us for screaming and yelling and complaining about darkness while we ourselves were darkness. And we pray, God, for everybody that we blamed, who never even said yes to you, who never even said they wanted to make you the Lord of their life, and we blame our darkness on them. Lord, forgive us, and we break that curse off of them, and we say, Lord, may they know your love and your forgiveness and your mercy, God. Forgive us for judging the world. Who are we? Who are we? Who are we, oh God? The children of the light.
The children of the day is what he calls us. You're listening to a brief moment when the glory of God was so thick at the VFN Dream Center on the Emerald Coast. You can actually join us virtually or join us there. Find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Listen, our God says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is over you. Understand that, that the glory of God, the presence of God, is what separates us from everything else that's out there. Listen, get connected. Maybe God's saying, now's the time, today's the day. Find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We have pastors now standing up for Pastor Saeed, who is in prison right now in Iran, while our president and others are not even paying attention to an American. What happened to the day? I mean, you think about Marcus Luttrell and the movies going on right now with Lone Survivor. And it's like we have one of ours is right now in prison just for being a believer, refusing to deny Jesus Christ as Lord. And that's it. Mm. And they're treating him terribly. And now pastors are standing up. Listen to CBN News. It's time for us to, we're going to need to speak out for injustices. We're going to have to cry out for justice. And these pastors are. Listen up, CBN News.
In other news, a group of pastors is reaching out to their own, calling on church leaders from across America to come to the White House and risk arrest every Monday from now until March 8th. Paul Strand tells us why.
Pastors put their freedom on the line to bring attention to Saeed Abedini, sentenced to 8 years in one of the world's most brutal prisons, while the American president reportedly does nothing to secure his freedom. These pastors say it's time for more than talk.
And we believe that our culture is dying for a model, and we also believe there are many courageous men in the pulpits in America that understand it's time to act now.
So these pastors are risking arrest out in front of the White House to stand with an American pastor now imprisoned in Iran and facing much worse circumstances. They pointed out as they were arrested, President Obama has never reached out to Saeed's wife and children. That's one reason Nakhme Abedini will join the pastors March 8th, risking arrest herself for the sake of her husband.
And if President Obama won't reach out to her and won't stand for her husband and the persecuted church, then she's coming to his very front yard.
She is personally going to invite pastors across the country to come and stand with her and her children because her husband is being neglected in a foreign jail with no representation except for the church.
Paul Strand, CBN News, the White House.
More on how you can join the millions calling for Pastor Saeed's release, you can visit our website, cbnnews.com.
Amazing. Hmm. It is amazing. Thank God that we're beginning to do something. This is what's called crying out for justice.
Yeah.
This is when we say, this is not right. As Americans, remember that this is a government by the people and for the people. And as Christians alone, we still should speak up, period, even if it was different. But we have a right to speak up. I mean, it is constitutionally correct. It's legally, ethically, morally correct. And God is looking, what are you doing with this freedom? He's got 8-year sentence for being a believer in Jesus Christ. And if you have not yet gone to the VFN Torch to understand the difference between Islam and Christianity, it's a huge difference because one is the anti-Jesus Christ as the Son of God religion. And, of course, the Bible, Christianity, is about Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Right.
So you cannot acknowledge Muhammad as a prophet of God and the Quran as a book of God and think you're going to actually acknowledge Jesus Christ at the same time, because to acknowledge Muhammad is to, in his writings in Islam, is to say what he wrote is right. That's what I believe in. And they believe that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. They say he's a prophet. Islam does, and the Quran, and that he ought to come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God. But he will help out the one who comes out of Mecca, the hole in the ground there, as they're walking around it, to be able to be his assistant. He cannot acknowledge that he has to stand up for the Lord, and we need to stand up for him by standing up for Pastor Saeed. Because this is what Jesus said. He said in Matthew 25, I believe, he says, when I was in prison, think about it. I mean, if anybody's in prison in Iran right now, then there's pastors in jail across the world. But right now, what's before us as Americans is Pastor Saeed, an 8-year sentence just for loving on folks in Iran and telling them about how to be saved, and to the ones that are believers, gathering them together in a church network. That's it.
You know, being tortured.
Oh, being tortured, putting there with rapists and all that. This back prison now. And it's not like, I mean, nothing's being said at all. While at the same time, you know, that our president declares, he said at his first international speech at Cairo University, "I consider it my job as the president of the United States to defend Islam from any negative stereotypes, fight against it, or defend it anywhere in the world where it might be found." Okay, he has the right to be able to do that. But what about Christianity? What about him being persecuted for being a Christian as the president of the United States of America, whose citizen is Pastor Saeed?
Right.
So then it should be also the obligation of the president to stand up and say something, and say just as much as he's saying about how he thinks the Muslim Brotherhood is a great organization, and he thinks Islam is a peaceful religion, and that, you know, and he's defending that he can also defend this American citizen's relationship with Jesus Christ, his belief in Christianity. And he did say, after he made that statement in Cairo, and you can see this on the VFN Torch, he did say that he would. Mm. He did say that he would, and he didn't. He's not. The biggest defense is for Islam. And understanding the antithesis between Islam and Christianity, understand this, that they're bipolar opposites. Nobody's saying that, you know, you can't be Muslim. Nobody's saying you can't be Christian. But the fact is that you are what you are. You are what you believe. So if that's what you believe, that's okay. But in regards to Christianity, you cannot acknowledge Muhammad and mm-hmm. Jesus both as correct, because they deny each other. They right. deny each other. And so, so as a Christian, we have to stand up and say, you know, sorry, you know, I can't do that. Is there something else I could do? You right. know, is there anything else I can do? But I can't deny Jesus Christ. And I'm just humbled at Pastor Saeed. I'm grateful for his stand, and the whole church in America is being confronted right now. And we're saying, you know, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. Jesus is in jail.
Yeah.
He's told Saul this. He says, when he saw, you know, the apostle Paul, but when he was Saul, and he was going to Damascus to be able to persecute the church there, and he was going to go imprison them and beat them. He says, why? And he's been doing it. You know, he's part of stoning Stephen and pulling Christians out of their homes. And then Jesus stopped him and showed up. And this is what he said. He said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you kicking against me?" And he says, "Lord, Lord, who are you?" Hmm. And so what's happening right now, what America is allowing to take place right this moment, is Jesus to be persecuted in Iran. Hmm. That's what's going on. Hmm. And when you heard our president say, you know, "I want to go to Damascus. I want to bomb Damascus. I want to bomb Damascus." I'm like, we should have been praying for him, because he could see the brightness of Jesus Christ on the route to persecute the church, because the church is crying out. If you bomb Damascus, they're going to attack us. And it's happening all over the Middle East now, where this Arab Spring that's turning into an Arab winter for the church, is that that's what's taking place right now. And it's like, dear Lord, give us discernment to know that even though Saul may be headed to Damascus to persecute the church, that you can encounter him, and he can encounter you, and he can knock him right off of his ass. Well, he's on a donkey. I mean, knock him right off of his horse and bring him down to the ground. Well, all of a sudden, this God who Saul did not know, he met God. And nobody around him, God just encountered Saul. And Saul encountered God. He encountered the Lord. And immediately, because he didn't know Jesus, all of a sudden he says, you know, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am Pastor Saeed, whom you are persecuting." Mm-hmm. "I am Pastor Saeed, who you have not even mentioned on the platform of the most powerful country that I allowed to exist on the face of the earth. I am Pastor Saeed, who's been locked back in the back of this prison with rapists and not getting his medication. I am Pastor Saeed. That's what he would say. And immediately what happened was Saul said, I totally missed it. Forgive me. And then he says, let me show you some things you must suffer, which means this, that you need to pray for our president. Pray for him because and there are prophetic words. There'll be a sudden shift in this presidency in the last 2 years, mm-hmm. a sudden shift. And, you know, I've done things before where I'm thinking like, this is the right way. And all of a sudden God reveals something to me and I go, my goodness. And I turn a different way. I go back a different way. And understand that when you encounter the creator of the universe, the brightness so much that you can't even see for a while, and it gives you a perspective that Pastor Saeed is Jesus and Jesus is Pastor Saeed. And whatever we do to Pastor Saeed, that's what we're doing to Jesus himself. Suddenly, instead of trying to organize the world, then our president will say, you know what? I'm going to let Jesus Christ organize me, and a shift could take place. Sometimes we mean good, but until we meet good, God himself, that's only when we truly know good. And when we know better, we do better.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them today at VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you, phone numbers, web addresses, even maps. Visit VFNTV.com and become a sponsor or a partner. Listen, do it today. It's your partnership, your giving financially that is helping us take the gospel all around the world. Let's partner and do it together. VFNTV.com. Become a partner today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
That's right, we have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.